What's up, guys? We're back for the third episode of Outside the Octagon. This episode is brought to you by Appleton Imaging. Be sure to check them out on Instagram and Facebook. David Appleton can provide you with all your photography needs, from senior pictures, family photos, sports photography, really anything. He's your guy. Today, we're actually having him on as a guest. He's our fight photographer and one of our good friends. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
Thanks for having me, guys. I've been looking forward to it ever since you told me I'd be on.
Absolutely, man. You're our first guest, so we'll see how this goes, you know, and just have some fun.
Yeah. Let's just jump into it. What got you into photography, David?
Well, I had a job that I was driving all over Missouri and seeing all the pretty sights, so I started taking pictures with my camera. And a little girl I was dating at the time ended up being my wife, gave me my first camera, and I started shooting all the sights and just loved it. Started putting pictures out for people to see, and everybody told me I was seeing, they liked what I saw, liked the way I saw life. So I just kind of embraced it and went crazy with it. And I got lucky and fell into starting shooting fights and stuff. It was all a matter of luck, really.
So do you like shooting fights or like nature and the things you saw while you were driving better?
I like shooting fights.
Is that your favorite thing to shoot?
Yeah, more than anything. I like it. Everybody puts so much work into being out there. All y'all, everybody that gets in the cage, no matter what their record, they put work in to get in there, and it's a privilege to get in there and capture it for them. I really love it.
And really, it's a totally different type of photography. You know, I'm not a photographer myself, but just looking at it, you know, when you're shooting nature and stuff, I do that when I go on hikes and whatnot. I really just use my phone, obviously, but it's still you're getting images, you're using the light and everything else like that. But when it comes to action photography, that's a whole different aspect. You know, you're in the zone. You got to get specific moments, and you really don't know how things are gonna go. So, like, with that being said, do you look for specific moments to take pictures, or are you just like constantly clicking, or like how does that work?
That's my next question.
I watch. I'm starting to learn. At first, I took a lot of not just holding the button and letting it fire, but three round bursts, how I refer to it in my head.
Right.
And I got a lot of face offs and a lot of fake outs and a lot of nonsense that I didn't need. But as I shoot more, I'm starting to learn how guys' shoulders move and their feet move and their head move.
Right.
And especially the guys like y'all that I've shot so much, I'm learning your style. I mean, you guys are always changing, but I've been shooting you the whole time. So I'm getting better at getting those pivotal moments. But I'm getting also at the same time, getting better at learning on the fly and trying to analyze how the new fighters that I'm seeing are moving.
Right.
So, I mean, it's constantly changing. The only thing I have control of in the shooting fights is the camera and what I'm looking at. Everything else is completely out of my control. It's all kind of by the seat of my pants.
Right. That's cool. That's a cool, like, you know, part of it is you're not going in with like a very set plan. Like, you got to adapt on the fly, which really, like, that's what we're doing in the cage. Mm-hmm. We're in there, we're fighting, and things never go as planned, and we're always adapting. So, like, I never really thought about it that way, but you're doing the same thing we are, just behind the lens taking pictures.
I don't have to get punched in the face to learn my timing.
Right. Do you ever get nervous, like, for the fighters that you know when they come in?
Yeah, I can't.
Do you?
I tried watching one of your fights, the one in Memphis, or I think that it was on pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
I tried to watch it, or I did watch it, and let's see.
You sent me pictures. You were taking pictures of the screen that you were watching.
I had to watch it through a lens of some sort, because I couldn't hardly stand the tension of watching it as a fan.
That's what you're used to, yeah.
Yeah, it totally desensitizes you. It's totally different looking at it through the camera. It's like I'm there and I'm seeing it, but I'm not seeing it. I'm watching it frame by frame. I'm not watching you guys fight.
That's a cool perspective.
It frame by frame.
It, like, gives you a job to do, so you're focused on, like, executing what you're doing, which is taking pictures, rather than focused on, like, oh, man, is my guy going to win?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how I feel, like, when I watch you fight Clem or really anybody that I know. I almost get more nervous than I get for my own fights, because, you know, it's like I have no control here, and I'm just sitting here watching. I don't know what's going to happen, anything like that, so.
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking watching a friend or someone you know fight.
Really,
there's nothing you can do about it.
And so. It's hard sometimes because I've got to completely like detach. I can't. Whenever I'm watching one of you guys fight or one of my friends in the ring, it's and they're fighting somebody I don't know. If they're not, the outcome's not what everybody, what I'm wanting or what my friend's wanting, okay, if they're taking a loss, then I have to make it look just as good for the person I don't know
right,
as I would for my friend, you know right. what I mean? Which is not, it's not like it's a switch I gotta flip. Now at this point, I just do it. But it is something that I gotta watch sometimes because I've been caught twice in three years now, twice where I've got my camera down, I'm going, oh no. And then I realized, oh, I got to shoot this and put my camera back up. Only twice. Yeah. There's been twice. I've got pictures of my hand where I grabbed the cage top and my ladder kicked and I was about to fall. I never stopped shooting. I got pictures of my hand grabbing the cage to steady myself. But
that's talent.
Yeah, no kidding. So I know you just said the cage top. At some fights, you get to stand up on a ladder up top above and shoot down. And others, you have to walk around. Do you have a preference? Which one you like to shoot more?
Until I started shooting some through the cage here recently, I always wanted to be up above shooting down because you get cleaner photos that way.
Absolutely.
But I'm finding out that shooting through the cage, I'm liking the look of them. They're more real looking sometimes.
Okay. That's
you know
cool.
what I mean?
You just get different angles. You know, from the top, you get that stereotypical, like, you know, video, like TV kind of look. Whereas, like, you shooting through the cage, like, granted, the cage is in the way. So, like, that kind of impedes it. But you get, you just get different shots. More real, I guess. More, almost like, intimate's not the right word, but like, you know, more emotional kind of like you're getting closer up and different things like that.
I think intimate was a pretty
different
good word
too.
For it, really. Yeah. It is. Right. I jumped down one of your fights, you were finishing with the choke, and I jumped down and I threw myself right in the middle of the gentleman that you were fighting's corner guys. And I was focused on getting the shot, man. I realized I threw it. I didn't hit him, but my elbow got wasn't shy. I got right up there, and then I realized what I was doing, and of course I got back. I don't want to get in their way, but I wanted to get that shot. I got the shot.
Is that from my last fight?
Yeah.
That was a hell of a photo, actually. That's one of my favorite ones. Cool.
It was one of my favorite ones, actually, so far, too. One of the best. Because I got down there, and that's where shooting through the cage, I think, adds something to it.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to get down and go around, it was... It's a lot more work trying to shoot both, but I'm getting to where I can lean and get, if I can see it, I'm trying to frame it through the cage. The cage, I thought it would impede the shots too, but it turns out, I really think that it adds to them a lot of times.
Yeah, and I think like the overhead view, that might be better for striking, whereas the down next to the cage, that might be better for grappling.
Absolutely.
Just to get, you know, kind of get a different look. But do you like? Would you prefer shooting grappling or striking, or which one? Like, which one do you think you get better photos with?
Man, it depends on which side of the art you lean towards.
Right.
People who I like any of them that make people talk about how much they like them. That's the ones I like. As far as for shooting striking or on the ground, I mean, I started learning. I went to jiu-jitsu class so I could learn what they were doing on the ground, and that made me really love shooting jiu-jitsu.
Right.
I really do.
Yeah.
But for jiu-jitsu, I really kind of want to be able to move all the way around. Like tournaments, I think that'd be great to go shoot some tournaments because it's wide open. There's no cage in the way if you could get around and get low angles on them.
Yeah.
Because but in the cage, I really like shooting. I try to get whenever they're on the ground, that's what I try to watch is I try to watch for the setup.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'll get part of the setup, but then it gets blocked or reversed, so I don't get the whole thing. But there's a rare time where I get the setup, I get the finish, I get everything right there. And then I like to post all of them. That's how come I end up posting 200 photos of fight sometimes.
Yeah. I'm not mad about it.
Not my last fight, but fight before that, there's a frame by frame where it's like, you got me throwing an overhand right, then shooting in on the double leg, then picking the guy up, then slamming him down, and then him rolling over, and then me ground and pound. And it's like a perfect sequence. And it's just cool to see that. Like, yeah, you don't always get to, like, get that sequence. You know, it's sometimes broken up. So I think that's one thing, like, especially with the ground fighting, that if you're unable to get the full sequence, then the pictures sometimes don't, like, aren't as captivating because it's harder to tell what was really going on. But when you do get that full sequence, you're like, wow, frame by frame, you can actually see what's going on. Mm-hmm. So that's just really cool.
Super cool. How long you've been shooting for, like, 2 years now? 3 years, you said?
Yep, 3 years. Three? This is the third. Right on. In March of 2016 was my first fight.
Okay.
So this month was 3 years shooting fights and fighters.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and we actually just trained a little bit and did a photo shoot for my fight posters coming up, so... It's a blessing to really have somebody like that to do that. And if you guys look at our Instagrams, whether it's mine or Clem's, if you haven't, you should. But when you do, a lot of the fight photos that we have, David Appleton has taken those. So, you know, you could check out his portfolio on his website and stuff. Yeah. But you could really just check out our Instagrams and you'll see them all over the place. They're super professional. I've seen a lot of people, like, at fights, you know, like at those Attitude MMA fights and different stuff. When you see the pictures and you're like, you can tell, like, who does a lot of fight photography and who's just a photographer that is there at the fights because somebody hired them, you know?
Yeah.
And because it makes a difference. Like, they take pictures and they get whatever they get, but you can tell that you know what's going on because you get very specific things. It makes a huge difference.
Part of that's because of going and hanging out at the gym with you guys and doing jiu-jitsu for the time that I was coming regularly, which I'm not claiming I go regularly. I'm saying when I did go regularly, I learned so much that I helps me know if you've never done it, then it doesn't, you don't know what the setup is. You don't know what's coming next. So it's hard to get a good shot of the ground fighting. And as far as standing, I've been a fan of cage fights since like 94, I think, the first time I saw one, whenever it was just starting. So, I mean, I love it. I've been a fan ever since. So it's something that I can recognize. And then being in the gym, I'm learning what good technique is. So I try not to post. I'm not saying I never do. I try to never post bad technique, even.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Even if it makes a cool looking shot,
I
try not to post it because I don't want to show anybody. I don't want to make anybody look poorly. You know what I mean? I want them to, I want to make everybody look their best.
And that's a real hard thing, you know, because sometimes you just try to get whoever you can in to take some pictures of you when you're training just for, like, social media purposes and whatnot. But if they don't know what they're doing, then they're just taking pictures. They'll be like, oh, I got this really cool shot. And then you go over, look at it. You're like, man, I look like garbage in that. Like, my technique needs to be better. And then you're like, you figure out, like, okay, well, these pictures look cool, but then you don't get the good technique and everything. So there's a difference between being a good photographer and being a good fight photographer. And I think having the knowledge of actual fighting helps so much. It's kind of like there's a difference between being a good commentator and a good fight commentator. Yeah. Kind of like how Joe Rogan is. Like, the reason he's so good is because he knows what's going on. You know, he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, was a high-level taekwondo fighter and everything else like that. So just having that knowledge allows you to apply it and just do your job that much better.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Over the course of the last 3 years, do you have a favorite fight that you've gotten to shoot? Do you have, like, one that stands out above the rest?
Man, honestly, all of them. Every time that I watch somebody from Fusion win, I get the same excitement. Because that's my teammate that won.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm right there in the middle of all of it. And I'm such a huge fight fan that whenever I get up there and I start shooting, I still can't believe that I'm 3 feet from the action. Sometimes they're less than 3 feet from me. They're right there, you know, right there below me. I get the same level of excitement. I love them all. I do. I like everything about. There's never been one bad fight that I've shot. I don't like watching my teammates get get a loss.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
I don't like that. I know which fight was my least favorite. We won't talk about that now necessarily.
It's okay. It happens. I know which one.
Was that one involving me or him?
Well, the one I was worried the most about you was whenever you got slammed so hard.
Oh, fighting Yurik.
There's actually a frame by frame of that.
There's a frame. We have a frame by frame of that suplex. Probably take one of those pictures and show my doctor if I'm telling not to fight him. But you know,
the other one though, it was pretty rough to watch. It was
that one back in October.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah,
that was when I got smacked around. For
that was the second time that I ever.
Yeah,
that was the second time that I ever got caught myself with my camera down, going open jaw,
really?
Watching. Yeah, I was like, oh no, oh I gotta shoot this. I didn't want to shoot it.
Yeah,
it still made me look all right in the midst of getting my ass beat though. So there's that.
Well, you fought.
Well, I didn't want to anymore.
I kept the pictures that showed that out. There were a couple that I could see you were trying to make your body do what your brain wanted it to do.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't going very well for me.
Yeah, I kept those. I've got those still. But
I appreciate that.
We'll wait till you're famous to bring
yeah.
those out.
That's an interesting thing to capture, though, because a lot of times, like, when you do get rocked in a fight and you realize, like, man, I want to do this, but my body's just not letting me. Like, I felt that way in my last fight.
Yep.
Especially the last time I got rocked when the ref called it off. It was like, I got hit and my body just crumpled. And, like, whether I wanted to move or not,
absolutely.
It just wouldn't work. So, like, for you to be able to shoot something like that and see, like, you see, like, what their body's doing. And then you can see their facial expressions mm-hmm. and kind of read them in the eyes and see, like, what's going on. And a lot of times it seems like, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home. And that's
absolutely.
super accurate because sometimes you just get hit and you, whether you want to or not, you can't do a whole mm-hmm. lot.
Yep.
Yeah, I was out on my feet and you did pretty good at showing the emotion and showing me trying to fight. But there was, after the first couple of hits, it was not going to last very much longer. So.
Yeah. Oh, that first shot. The one that's got your eye.
Yeah.
That's whenever I my camera was down after that. I was like, I did get the picture. It wasn't real clear, but
any close-ups of his eye?
Yeah, I got a couple where you can see him pretty good. Not real close-ups, but I got some where you can see it pretty good.
Yeah.
I actually, whenever that he come out and caught that first shot, I bumped my shutter speed button, so I slowed it down. Where I got some blurry hands and stuff, and it was just such a whirlwind of stuff that I didn't want to see that I didn't catch it until the end of the fight.
Yeah.
So the pictures actually suffered from that.
Yeah.
It was unintentional, but I managed to save a whole bunch. I got good pictures. The slower shutter speed actually helped in some of the shots, but the solid punches, there's some blurry hands and stuff, but still, sometimes a blurry hand helps accentuate how hard the shot was.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and I don't like doing it on purpose, but sometimes it happens and it really does help out the photo.
The fact that things are happening with like within split seconds, that to try to capture certain moments is like, it's almost a matter of luck. Like, obviously you have so much skill to be able to do that, but to get up there and capture some of the things you do, it's like, it's really mind-blowing that that's even possible mm-hmm. because it just happens so fast.
It's mostly luck, actually, because I know basically where to put my camera settings. I'll make some adjustments on the fly, like if it's the bigger guys that move a little slower, I'll change it a little bit, or the smaller guys that are faster, if I know these guys are going to stay on the ground, I'll make some adjustments. But for the most part, I set my camera up and it's good. So then it all relies on me paying attention to what's going on and luck.
Yeah.
I mean, it really isn't. I'm doing more than just pushing the button, but I depend a lot on luck up there. Luck
and
watching.
You do have to be like really in the zone. Just like when we get in the cage, you know, we're focused.
Yeah.
Nothing else is really going on in our head except for that. I imagine it's probably the same with you, you know, doing photography, especially since you're passionate about it. And when passion is involved, you're often, you strive for excellence, and that excellence is, that comes from the focus that you have when you're doing those specific things. So I imagine it's a very, like, freeing experience too, just like how we are when we get in the cage.
It really is. I, full disclosure, I have terrible anxiety attacks before the fights, because I don't like crowds. I don't do well, and I mean, as you've seen it, Austin, you've seen it, the mob meetings. I don't talk in front of people very well. I get nervous pretty quick, and I clam up, and I. So I'm like that before every fight. Plus, then the nerves of, am I gonna, if I haven't tanked one yet, thank goodness. I've tanked a couple fights.
Yeah.
But I haven't tanked a whole fight night, and I'm still nervous that what happens if I lose every, what if I shoot this and I lose all my shots, my photos, or something, anything. Right. You know, I mean, if I drop my camera, it's all just, everything runs through my head, and then you throw all the people I'm gonna be in front of, because I know that everybody's watching the fight, not the guy that's up on the top of the cage with the camera, but in my mind, I'm in front of all those people,
right?
So I have to try and block that out. But as soon as the announcer comes in the ring, everything else gets muted, and I don't care. I don't care about any of it.
You get tunnel vision.
Don't get in my way, because I'll run over you.
Right.
I just. Try to, that's all I can think about. It's something else. I never experienced anything like it before. I wasn't a sports. I didn't play sports in school or anything. I worked and went to school. I didn't.
Yeah.
So I never had a crowd of people focusing on anything that me or the team I was part of or anything doing. Mm-hmm. I played summer baseball a couple times, but that was different. It's not.
Well, and I think having that task of, like, you know, taking pictures really helps you, like, in the crowd, because you don't have to interact with the crowd. You don't even have to just stand there and, like, let the crowd look at you, you know, like, you're focused on doing what you're doing, so it doesn't allow you to focus on what else is going on around you. So I imagine that probably helps a lot. You know, like, I'm not a huge fan of big crowds either, but when I get in the cage, you know, that's the one thing that, like, I'll gladly be the center of attention when I'm fighting because I know, number one, I'm trained to fight. I can get in there and showcase, you know, what I'm good at, skill, like my skills, and I feel like I'm expressing myself through the martial arts that I do. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to, you know, give people the experience to see that. But, like, you know, just getting up in front of a crowd and, like, you know, whether it's public speaking or doing an interview and stuff like that, it seems... like, that seems, like, so scary and nerve-wracking, but then you think about it, and you're like, man, I get up in front of people and punch people and get punched in the face, and it's like, there's a real fear of me getting hurt, and if I'm not, you know, putting the hurt on somebody else, they're putting it on me, but we do that, you know, gladly, and then there's other things in life that are just so difficult, but it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, I'm okay to get up and showcase my talent and stuff, just as long as I don't have to talk. I feel like I fumble over my words when people are in front of me, and I can't do it. But I'll happily perform, I guess, is a better word, in front of people.
Your speaking ability has really improved over the last 3 years, too.
Yeah,
you,
I know.
You, now you speak instead of saying three words, and then...
Hold on. Hold on. Now we have better... people asking me questions. Yeah, so
it's hard to answer very close-ended questions, yes, especially if absolutely. They're like yes or no. You really got to have, like, a good interviewer to be able to elaborate on things like that. Because, you know, when you, like we were talking about, we get in there and we fight, that's all good and whatever. But when they call you into the cage to do an interview, especially if it's pre or post-fight, it's kind of weird because then everybody's looking at you. They're waiting for your answer. So if you're not getting asked good questions, then how are you supposed to give good answers?
Right.
But people don't understand that aspect of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to snap from what you're most comfortable to, at least for me, what I'm the least comfortable with. Again, I hate talking in front of people. And so when it's a closed-ended question, I'm going to answer it with a closed-ended answer. I'm not going to carry on stupid things. Yeah. Just asking me where I train, not... Yeah. How I prepared or anything, or let me walk through. That's a terrible question.
Right.
And so the last couple times I fought, when I've been interviewed, it's been good. Like, he'll pull out a scenario from the fight and ask me to walk him through it, or he'll just give me, he lets me explain myself,
right,
opposed to one.
And like when you interview after the fight, it's so much different than before or any time like leading up to the fight, because after the fight, number one, you're on a natural high, your adrenaline's going, like you feel great. I feel like I'm also in a, like an optimal performance state where I'm focused. I have just enough nerves to where, you know, everything is just clicking. So then you get the microphone and you just go, and afterwards you're like, I don't even really know what I just said, but words came out of my mouth. And when you do a post-fight interview, they're always fun, but you really never know what you're going to say. Like, I remember saying the F word on one time, being like, oh, sorry, guys, but you're so fired up. Like, you're so emotional, you're happy. Like, there's so much going on when you win a fight, especially because you put in so much work.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you got in there, you did what you needed to do, you won, you got your hand raised, whether it's a finish or a decision, like, you're just juiced, you're jacked up, and sometimes you just say things.
Prior to the fights, I actually kind of try to plan somewhat of what I'm going to say, so I at least have a summary, like an outline I can run through. Make it up on the fly would not go very well for me.
Yeah.
So I'll make, like, I knew I wanted to thank my sponsors, and so I would recite, like, in my head, the order I'm going to, so I wouldn't forget any of them, and I would know I'm going to thank my teammates, so I would just already have the order set up, and then, of course, you do have to do things on the fly because you don't know what they're going to ask you.
Right.
But I do already have kind of a brief, I guess, summary of what I'm going to say.
You're prepared.
Yeah, I try to be prepared.
Yeah, and that, you know, that just goes to show, like, more of how you are. You know, you're prepared for your fights, and then you prepare for that interview, whereas some people just go into the fights, like, not too worried about what their opponent's going to do, but just, you know, what they're going to do. Go in there and do their thing, and same way with the interview, they just kind of say whatever comes, but it's just two different styles.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not good at on the fly. I think I could fight on the fly. I don't think I could talk on the fly.
Yeah.
So
I'd rather get punched in the face than do a post-fight or pre-fight interview.
Yeah,
and the post-fight, I think I could pull that off because, like you said, there's so many other things.
Yeah.
But the pre-fight interviews,
those are the dumbest things.
That would suck so bad.
Yeah, I actually don't know anyone that likes, even the crowd doesn't like that.
Well, even like even the guys like in the UFC, you know, they don't do like pre-fight stuff, but like the whole fight week they have media stuff.
Yep.
And like, as fans, obviously we want to hear the like leading up to it, but I can imagine that's probably really exhausting. Like, you're cutting, not only are you having to, you know, talk and, you know, have a bunch of cameras and microphones in your face,
but you're cutting weight,
your calories are low, like, that's like probably the last thing you want to be doing.
Yeah, let's and then deplete it, you in every way, and then make you think.
Yeah.
People don't understand how rough a weight cut really is, and so it's rough to do everyday life that way, and then you throw in interviews and garbage like that, it's just
exhausting, and like, it makes you wonder, like, does that affect them on fight night? Like, some people are really good at doing the media stuff.
Yep.
Some people like prefer not to. Like, I know there's been times where guys have just opted out of all media obligations, and like, they take a hit from, you know, their pay and whatnot, because obviously that's in their contract. But, you know, I can imagine at certain points I wouldn't want to do that either.
Right. I wouldn't be against taking a pay cut if it meant I didn't have to do any kind of interviews.
But then again, on the flip side, it's good for like your promotional value. And things like that.
Well, Monday, Tuesday, I could see getting by. After Wednesday, when I really start cutting everything out, I wouldn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah. And see, like, for me, it might not be as bad as you because I don't cut as much weight as you do. Well, granted, I'm smaller, so I guess it's a
percentage-wise, it might be kind of close.
But still, man, I can't imagine cutting the weight that you cut and then trying to go and do, like you said, just everyday life. Like, even, like, I know leading up to fights, like, there's been times where, like, I had to go to work while cutting weight, to think about like going to work and like actually being productive at work. I know whenever I was cutting weight, that never happened. Like, I was lucky to even just get myself into work, and like, you know, probably wasn't too productive. So if I worked for you and I was cutting weight and whatnot, I'm sorry, but hey, it happened. So we got more important things.
Yeah, when I still worked at the Candlewood, there were very, very minimal productive days when I was in the middle of a weight cut.
Right, and you're going to work, and, you know, it's warm outside, but you're wearing long sleeves and pants, trying to sweat a little bit. People are looking at you like, what are you doing?
Absolutely. Dang.
I blew me away the first time I saw you guys, any of you guys, go through a weight cut. I just couldn't believe it. I've never seen anybody do that to themselves like that. I mean, I've been dehydrated from work and stuff. I know how bad it is whenever you're drinking water. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine intentionally dehydrating yourself for 4 or 5 days prior to a fight and then have to rehydrate and perform at 100%.
Well, 10%. Hopefully it's not 4 or 5 days. Let's just get that out there. If you're doing that, then you got an issue with your diet.
Yeah, but you start monitoring your intake way before you actually shut it down. Right, you know what I mean? And if I'm not drinking 16 ounces of water every couple hours, I'm feeling the effects. Right, I couldn't imagine cutting yourself even down to bare minimum for days
before. Yeah, where you're sitting in the sauna and you're taking a couple sips, and then after a certain point, you're like, okay, I have this many pounds to go, so for the next so many hours, I'm not going to drink anything. And, you know, your mouth gets so dry that you got to put some water in there. And it's the worst feeling ever to spit it out.
Yeah.
All you want to do is swallow it. But you know, like even the littlest bit, you know, when your body absorbs it, you can gain a little bit of that weight. And you work so hard to get the weight off that any little bit you don't want to put back on.
I do ice cubes. I put an ice cube in my mouth because I can't swallow it all immediately. And then it gives me more time to talk myself into spitting it back out.
Yeah, like chewing gum is good. But sometimes when you're chewing gum and you have no saliva or anything, it's just like horrible. You're just chewing on rubber, really. Mm-hmm. And you're spitting all the time.
I know whenever you're on a roof and it's 95 degrees outside, you don't go and you don't pound the water down. The whole...
Yeah.
Getting a drink and having to spit it out and not wanting to. I understand that feeling, but that's after a couple days of that, that would be terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be terrible.
Yeah. That's actually the trick after weight cuts, because you have to start putting fluid back immediately, but you can't.
But you can't chug it.
Yeah. I drink the Pedialyte first because it keeps things in your system better, but everybody has their own technique, I guess.
Yeah, I usually sip on a little bit of Pedialyte, try to drink like a protein shake, not with a ton of protein, but also adding some type of like simple carbs just to get that back in me. And you know, when you restore your carbs like that and restore your glycogen levels, then you can hold more water, so that helps you rehydrate too. So that's another thing that, like, sequentially, it, you know, you do Pedialyte, a little bit of that, and then go on. But a lot of times you fill yourself up with liquids because they just taste so damn good.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then you're like, man, I really need to eat, but my stomach's full.
Yeah.
Especially when you've been dieting as hard as you do.
Yep.
And your stomach kind of shrinks a little bit. But that's another big thing, is when you, after you weigh in, making sure you don't eat too much.
Yeah.
Because you'll just start being sick. I did that one time, and I was like, I ate so much that I just wanted to curl up in the fetal position and just rock myself to sleep, because I was just like hurt and just cramping up and whatnot. But
eat just enough of the nutrients. You don't want to eat till you're full. Save that until the next day.
Right.
Yep. Speaking of weigh-ins, that's always when I feel like I'm the most cut up and shredded and stuff. I'm ready for pictures. Yeah. And then I go get my pictures taken. I'm always so weak. I don't want to, I just stand there and look miserable in front of the camera.
Well, I've seen you look half dead twice.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's why everybody loves, like, people are like, man, MMA fighters are so in shape. They look shredded. And like, well, you're seeing us when we're like 10, 15 pounds of less water, you know? So everything's just absolutely cut. And then we come in the next day and you're like, oh, I'm a little bloated. Like,
a pudge nugget. Absolutely.
No, it really is crazy to, like, do a side-by-side of weigh-in day and then fight day.
Oh, absolutely.
Or just even leading up to it.
Well, yeah, because you have almost basically 28 hours, which I know you're not eating the entire time over that, but if you're fighting towards the end of the fight card, you have 28, 29 hours to rehydrate. That's a long time to get stuff back in your system.
Next time you have a break, probably you because you're around more, but if you come around, next time you have a break where you don't go through a camp for a while and you get back to your normal walk-around weight, I do want to take a shot of you, like a weigh-in shot of you at your full weight.
Just give me a week.
About 24 hours after the fight.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to shoot you through the various stages of your training
camp. Weight cut?
All the way through the camp, from before, through the camp, the weight cut, fight night. Fight night,
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I don't like messing with you on fight night. I try to
Well, if you could get me, like, at the fighters meeting and stuff like that, I wouldn't have any issue because I'm just about to go take a nap and just listen to music anyway. So I'm not really in the zone. If you tried to talk to me an hour before my fight, I probably wouldn't.
Man, I try to stay. That's one thing. Ever since the first fight night that I started, I've seen right off. I say hello to you guys, but I don't walk up and pester you. I just stay away. You guys got a job to do. I got a job to do. If we talk later, cool. If not, I'll see you Monday.
Was there any part of the fights that when you started that caught you off guard that you didn't expect to see from the fighters? Behind the scenes things or anything in general?
I really couldn't believe how few assholes there are. Pardon my language. I don't know what you think about that, but that's what shocked me the most. I haven't met any cocky, arrogant, because I figured, with people like that, I usually clash, and in a place like before a fighter meeting, you don't want to. There's nobody there I want to clash with. Everybody in that room with me. So I mean, I've never had a problem with anybody. Nobody's ever been a jerk at all, man. That was one thing that surprised me. Yeah, yeah.
See that? I mean, there's like, you get these stereotypes of MMA fighters, like we're supposed to have tattoos and like be, very like you were saying, like arrogant and standoffish and like things like that. But really, when you meet a lot of MMA fighters, like if you just saw them walking down the street, you wouldn't really think anything of them. Like myself, I'm 5'6", 145 pounds. You saw me walking down the street, you probably wouldn't think I was a fighter. And then you see me get in the cage, you're like, oh wow. But the stereotypes that you think of, like, oh, you think that there's just these like really gritty guys that are aggressive and like, dickheads and whatnot getting in there and throwing down. It's not always like that. Some fighters are the nicest people you've ever met in the world. And I think that goes back to the, we know we're getting in there and we're doing something that is a little bit taboo and something that, obviously now it's mainstream, but before people have trouble understanding it, but then they see that everyday people can go in there and do that. And they're like, wow. And not to mention the respect that fighters have for each other. Like most of the time, give or take a few fights and fighters after the fight, you get up, shake hands, you hug it out. And it's a big respect thing, Sometimes, like, one of Clem's fights, throwing the double birds to the guy on the ground.
Okay, he deserved it.
Hey, full disclosure. Emotions get involved.
I would do that 10 times out of 10 if I could go back. Absolutely.
Yeah. It made a cool photo.
It made a great photo. I'm really happy with it. You got a couple of good ones out of that. Yeah, full disclosure, the guy was talking a lot of trash leading up. We had fought before, I got hurt, and they basically said I was not good. I guess over the course of a few months when we refought, I subbed him in the first round and gave him the double bird. So
sometimes those things are warranted though.
And, yeah. Oh, I don't regret it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about it. Oh well. I don't think his coach and him were too happy about it. Yeah. No regrets. Dang. So outside of
but that really wasn't, you didn't say anything disrespectful to him.
I just figured out that my actions
and went on about your business.
Yeah. Well, that's what I did. So
like, hey, let me show you what's up. I just subbed you, now you're getting the double
bird. Yeah. As I stepped over him like Allen Iverson.
That's one too that I got the, I don't know if I posted. I think I, you may not have got all of them, but I got the whole setup there. I mean all the way from, because he had the guillotine, and I saw your face. You were like, well, all right. And then you transitioned.
I wanted to mount him and beat the piss out of him, but he wouldn't let go, so I just choked him.
I saw the moment you decided to choke him. I don't know if you've got...
No, I didn't get that. I'm interested to see those.
Yeah, though. I'll get it out for you. It's a pretty cool picture.
Yeah, okay. See, that's something I'm curious about. It's like, we see the pictures that you post on Fight Night, but who knows how many pictures you take that we don't ever see. Yeah. So that's a whole nother part of, the fight that you see that we don't see. Because really when we're in there, we remember bits and pieces of the fights, but you go back and look at the video to really know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
But then you catch different, like even when you're watching a video, you miss certain things. But if you get so many like standalone pictures of the fights, it just gives you a whole different view. How many pictures do you think you take of each fight?
If it goes night? Three rounds, like how many pictures do you think you're going to take?
Usually, I got it down. At one point, I had it down to about 300 pictures a round.
Oh, unless, my goodness.
Well, that's unless it's a high action, lots of throw. I mean, I've had as many as 900 pictures a round.
Wow.
900 a round?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Oh, my God.
The little guys, the little quick dudes that are pop, 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 nonstop throwing. And then I go home, and all I do, I just scan through them, and I look for the good contact. Because there's so many of the same thing where they're halfway through a punch or whatever. Whew. But I don't want to miss the impact.
Yeah.
So the faster the action, on a jiu-jitsu, on people that are on the ground more than anything, 150 to 280.
So my fights aren't too exciting.
yours, I actually are one of them that I take a few extra because I try to get the setup.
Okay.
People who I know pride themselves on their jiu-jitsu, I don't just want to get them choking him. I mean, it's the setup and the delivery is just as important. One just as important as the other to me on those. So that's why just sometimes I don't. Sometimes you can't see him. Sometimes I'm not at the right angle. That's why I like being able to get down and go run around.
Yeah, that's cool.
That really makes it better. But I lost my train of thought. I should have said that. There's a microphone in front of me.
Oh, well. Outside of fighting, is there anything else you like to shoot? Like, what's your second favorite thing to go?
My wife, she races at Fair Play at the Hillbilly Speedway. It's a bump and run type racing. It's like the track is less than a quarter mile. I think it's probably less than an eighth of a mile circle.
Oh, wow.
Probably way less than an eighth of a mile. It's little. But they get a whole bunch of cars out there, and pretty much, I mean, it's the object is to spin each other out, and hitting is legal. I mean, you don't T-bone each other or try to hurt each other. But and they do try to stay away and actually have a winner, but that's a lot of fun to shoot. It is. A lot of people out there getting a lot of aggression out. It's and just having a ball. That's my second favorite thing to shoot, probably.
It's kind of like a fight, except in a car.
Yeah, yeah. It really is.
That's cool.
It's action packed.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. If you go out and watch it on a Saturday night, it's not 4 hours you'd regret. It's not an all night deal. You aren't out there all night. It's fun, and she loves it, and I'm proud to shoot it for her, and that's big fun. But I honestly carry my camera everywhere I go. It's out in my truck right now. I mean, we shot you earlier. Right. So, but even if I wouldn't have shot you earlier, I'd have my camera.
Oh, wow.
But I take it everywhere. I shoot everything. I shoot work. I shoot birds. I shoot cows, ponds.
I mean, when it's, you know, your passion like that, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, so.
You never know when you're going to come across that shot that is the one.
Yeah, making millions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
That's what we all wish for.
Somebody sold a picture of a potato for like, I think it was a couple $1 million or something.
Really? What? Tell me more. When?
Yeah, fill me in.
I don't know the details. It was something I flipped through on Facebook. It's probably false. But I was like, what in the world? And I started to read the article, but honestly, it was so ridiculous that I just backed out of it.
You know,
but I mean, if you Google it, I guarantee you, you'll find something. You'll either be able to say it was BS or it was true. You'll find something on it, though.
You know, when it comes to taking pictures, that is art, you know, and with modern day, you never really know what somebody's going to consider art.
You
so
never know.
You can take pictures of anything and somebody will be like, oh yeah, that's it. That's the $1 million picture.
Yeah.
But
I think if I could take a picture of a potato and make it cool, I'll take a picture of the potato. You know what I mean? It's just how different people see different things, right?
It's on CBS News, so I'm going to assume that it's legit.
Yeah.
It sold for over $1 million.
Oh, my
A picture
goodness.
Of a potato. Yeah, that's
crazy,
absurd. What is wrong with
I'm
people?
So glad that it was on a real news source.
Yeah.
After I said it, I thought, oh, no, what's this false news? I don't want
now
that guy.
It's on ABC, CNN. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What? I don't understand what's so spectacular about it, I guess.
Wow.
Minimalistic. I don't know, man.
I guess you could interpret it as a lot of different things. Like, it kind of looks like it's just like a potato floating in space, whether it's like a moon rock or something like that. I don't know.
Start taking pictures of vegetables there.
I have all kinds of cheeseburger and french fry pictures.
You know, oh, I know. Those get me going.
You know what would be crazy, though, is like if you say you have a vegetable or whatever it is, and then you zoom in really, really close on it, that would give you a different perspective because it's like a very, like, it's at a different size than, you know, what we usually capture. Yeah. When we look at something like the salt lamp, for example, we see it from our point of view, the distance that we're here, how much our eyes can focus. But if we were to look at it with a magnifying glass, we could see the individual crystals and different things. Yeah. In it, you know? Yeah. So the scale at which you see things can really change the perspective that right. you get from it. So, you know, you could probably get some really cool pictures just taking pictures of inanimate objects that really don't mean a whole lot.
Well, when I'm in weight cuts, the inanimate objects that David sends me are his cheeseburger and fries. He knows they're my favorite, and he's like, oh, hey, having another one.
My wife warned me away from it the first time. I was like, nah, I'm sending this to him. He'll appreciate it. And yeah. then I hit send, and I was like, oh, no, I hope he appreciates it.
Oh, you can't beat a good cheeseburger.
He's yeah, just happy that somebody's enjoying it. Yeah.
Then I ask him to describe it in vivid detail. And
so one thing I've always like kind of wondered from a photographer's standpoint is, you know, when you take pictures, you're taking like a 3D experience and putting it into a 2D image. So how do you go about capturing like everything, like what am I trying to say? How do you go about making it as 3D as you can, but with it still being a 2D image? Like, how do you adjust for depth? Is that based on like the lighting, or like how do you do that?
It's mostly the aperture. That's okay. How far you open the shutter opens.
Yeah.
So the wider the aperture, the farther open it is, the more light it lets in, the less sharp things are. Things are more, the less depth you got. That is, that adjusts okay. the field of depth. Yeah. Field of depth. So a bigger number is a smaller aperture. That gives you a deeper field of depth.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Between that and focal point, just what you focus on. Like,
yeah.
I can focus on you, and it'll show him in the background kind of blurry,
right?
Or I can set my aperture more and I can focus on you and get everything. It's mostly camera settings, and I'm not real good at putting it into words. If I had my camera in right. front of me, I could show you.
Right.
If I try to explain it with all the words, I'm gonna be boring and probably say the wrong stuff. But it is all camera settings for the right. most part, and picking your focal point. Picking yeah. whether you want the focus to be close to you or far away.
Right. Do you ever have to adjust that on the fly in fights, or is it a close enough?
Every time I hit a burst, everybody's moving. Uh-huh. So I try to get the person closest to the ring. I'll put my viewfinder on them, and I'll take my focus, and then I'll get my next three. I'll follow you around. And if you guys go to the far side of the cage, then I got to stop. I refocus. Okay. I use autofocus. I don't see well enough to, and I don't practice well and often enough for manual focus, because I my cameras, at least nowadays, I don't know about in the past, like old cameras, but the autofocus seems to work really well.
Right, and things are happening so fast yeah. that you can't expect to be able yeah. to manual focus. Right, yeah. That seems crazy to yeah. me.
I can make adjustments to my aperture and to my shutter speed.
Yeah.
Without looking, because there's a printout that says on my viewfinder mm-hmm. what I'm seeing. It's got the numbers, and I can watch them up and down, but then I got to take my eyes off the action. So I mostly use counting clicks, and just, it took me a while with the new camera. It took me a while with my last camera. It's just a matter of figuring out how, you know, where the buttons are, muscle memory,
right,
basically. Mm.
When you really start to break it down, it's crazy how much, like, you know, we rely on muscle memory when we're fighting. Yeah. You rely on muscle memory when you're taking pictures, you know. We're super focused when we're fighting and nothing else is going on. You're super focused when you're taking pictures. And I think when it all comes down to it, that's all because we're passionate about fighting, so we're in the moment. You're passionate about taking pictures, so you're in the moment. Mm-hmm. So it's just cool to see that there's things from two totally different worlds that have parallels.
And yeah. That's a connection that I made in my head right from the start, but I haven't really voiced it. I'm glad to hear somebody else voice it, because I'm not going to compare what I'm doing to anything you guys do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I went to one Saturday practice with the fighters whenever I was coming to class every other day, and it about killed me. So, I mean, you guys are animals. I mean, not like it's, I got a lot of respect for you guys. So I wouldn't have ever made that comparison out loud, but I did. And it's all in the details. And that actually, jiu-jitsu class is what I started connecting that with. It sounds ridiculous, but once I heard that in regards to jiu-jitsu, I started comparing it to everything else in life. Everything's about the details. Yeah. Everything's about the little stuff. It's not the big fancy finish. Right. It's the little details that get you to that fancy finish that matter. And it's that is, as far as I'm concerned, every aspect of life.
Well, I mean, when you look at things from the big picture and like an outside perspective, they seem kind of simple, right? But then when you dive into it, you realize how intricate things are. Like, you know, just looking at fighting, you're like, oh, people are out there punching and kicking and grabbing and doing those things. But when you get down to it, there's like very minute details that and steps for certain techniques and whatnot. And it's the same way with photography. You know, to us, it's like, oh, he's just up there taking pictures, like clicking a button. That's it. But then when you talk about it, you know, then we're talking about focusing. We're talking about managing depth. We're talking about getting specific movements, like where you're moving to get certain angles, to get the right lighting. And then you're taking pictures, and then you're focused. Like, there's so many different things going on. And like you said, it's exactly how life is. Like, I think that's why you see people doing things and you think so instantaneously, like, oh, I could do that, but really it's like that's your ego talking.
Yeah.
When in reality, if you knew the details and everything that went into what they're doing, the complexity of it, you would realize like, wow, I probably can't do that. And it takes so much, you know, so long of a time to get to that point doing certain things, such a skill set that, you know, it's hard to just be able to be good at so many things, and that's why you got to focus on certain things, be passionate about certain things, and that's why you're good at photography and we're good at fighting. Well, I'd like to think I'm good at fighting, but that's not for me to judge.
Average.
it's all training. I mean, you guys go and you train every day, two times a day, a lot of times, every day. It's the same thing. I take my camera and I'll pick it up, not knowing what the settings are. I'll figure I want to shoot this, so I'll make settings and figure out, and I'll take the shot and see if I got it on the fly. It's the same thing. You're just training every shot I take, every fight night. I'm practicing, because there's no way I can't set up a fight night at the gym. I mean, there's cages. I have access to a couple cages that I could probably do some shooting around.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be the same.
Yeah.
The energy's different. You can't train for that.
Yeah.
I mean, the only training is live. I mean, you guys can roll and spar and even spar heavy, and you can get in the cage at the gym and you could go hard on each other.
Yeah.
But it's still not going to be the same as the pressure difference. There's so many different things that you can't practice.
Yeah.
Right.
The only practice you get is when you're in there doing it.
Right. And that's a big thing, because you see guys that are like, they're killers in practice, but then they get in the cage and that pressure just makes them cripple and they just don't perform. And you're like, why? And then you see guys that, like, you know, they're decent in practice, but then they get in the cage and they're like a whole next level up. And I think it's really all about how you can use that energy when it comes to fight night, because you're feeling so many different emotions. There's so many different things going on. There's a bunch of pressure, you know, depending on who you're fighting, what promotion you're fighting for. Like, if there's other things in the future that are riding on this fight, like, and then you go into the gym and, like, you know, you just come into the gym to train. Like, I know when, like, every day before practice, I obviously try to make sure I get, like, a good meal in me and have, like, a routine before, but it's never going to be the same as, like, my very detailed, specific routine before a fight that I do perfectly so I can perform and execute exactly how I want to on fight night, you know? So it really is, like, really is not the same at all. And that's something that is hard to express to other people because, you know, you're in the gym training and whatnot. You know, you're doing well or maybe not so well. But when it comes down to fight night, it's totally different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely is completely different.
That's where the training comes in. It doesn't matter if you have a week's worth of bad nights. You're doing that training. And whenever it comes time to perform, do you think about it whenever you're out there? I mean, I know you got a game plan. I know you pay attention. But you're not telling yourself to do the things that you're doing. You're just, what's coming at you, you're dealing with on the fly.
Yeah, you're really just doing it. Like, you know, you can't get too much in your head. Obviously, there's times where you do kind of get in your head and you think about different things, but you got to snap out of that because when you start thinking like that, then your reactions are slower and you don't, like, everything's happening so fast in a fight that you don't have enough time to think about things. Your body has to be prepared to do the things that you wanted to do with minimal thinking. Obviously, you're still analyzing because you want to have a high fight IQ and be able to capitalize on different things that they're doing from you watching them and getting their reactions. However, most of what you do, that's all programmed into your body and your brain's kind of on autopilot. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So I know we were talking about how we practice every day. Do you feel like you pick up your camera every day and shoot something? Or every day you do?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't necessarily take a picture every day. The days where I go and I work from daylight to dark, I don't. And there are days where I don't feel it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You're just like,
of course, with anything.
You just need to rest it.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever you're driving the same road back and forth for 5 days in a row, I mean, I got my camera there, and when I see an eagle or if I see a hawk or whatever, I grab it. But there are, I'm part of several different photography, like social media sites, a few of them anyway. And I'll go on there and I'll just cruise and look at other people's photos, whether it's portraits or landscapes or cities or composites that people are making out of Photoshop. It's everything. And all that is, I'm looking at things other people do. And, I mean, really, that's how you become good at anything you do, is you take little things, little details that you've stolen from other people. Oh, I like the way they did that. You put that in your arsenal. And, I mean, I don't go and I don't try to copy anything I ever see. But that's how I come up with new ideas. Yeah. I go through and I'm like, oh, wow, look how that worked. Yeah. Or if I see something, I'm like, how in the world did they make that light do that? I try to figure it out, you know, which I don't. I've got a long ways to go on lighting and stuff like that. But that's why I like shooting. I really enjoy shooting from the hip. Weddings are scary.
Yeah.
I'm expensive to get me for a wedding because I don't
want to. Why is that?
Because there's a lot of pressure to a wedding.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure to a wedding. And it's not like for the fight photos, I don't have to go through and do much touch-up. I can go and basically go to each fight. I'll pick out the first photo that I like the lighting on, and I'll edit it, and I'll make a preset, and then I'll try that. That'll be my starting point for the rest of that fight. I'll mass edit that, and then I go through one at a time, and I crop them, and I might make some adjustments on different ones. With weddings, you can't do that. With weddings, to me, weddings need to be, every picture needs to be special attention given to it. I need to do its own edit, its own. There is no preset.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I could do it that way, but I don't feel right doing it that way. I don't know why. I just don't. It's not. I feel like I'm.
Well, that's because you're passionate and you want to give people what they want, you know, and you care. Like, that's a big thing. And, like, you want to provide the value that you feel like they deserve. And, you know, if you're willing to do that, it does add a ton of pressure. I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra, to me, it's a lot of extra pressure. My wife has started going with me on wedding shoots, and that's taken a lot of the pressure off because she's better at dealing with all of the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I do all right. I'm a confident person, but you put me talking to someone that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Unless I'm speaking directly to them about something I have confidence in, I don't come across as a confident person. Yeah. I come across as, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
You know, because I stutter a lot. I just don't feel, I don't feel comfortable with it. So she takes a lot of that pressure off of me. Once I get where I think I need to be as far as posing people, that'll all change. Then I'll have that confidence. But for now, I'm figuring it out as I go, and I'm charging you to be here shooting your wedding. I don't feel like I'm ready to be to do them. They freak me out.
So do you like to do senior portraits and stuff like that?
I love it. Love it, yeah. And family portraits, I'm figuring out. I kind of like that, too, quite a bit.
Okay.
Because I'm learning, like, Pythian Castle. I did a shoot there a while back, and that was a lot of fun. The family that I shot, they had a little bit of a wild side to them, sort of, and they wanted something a little different. And that's me. I mean, if you're wanting somebody just to come and pose you, I'll do it. But I like to just kind of go and see what happens.
Yeah.
You guys do what you're going to do, and I'll take pictures of you, and we'll make some poses here and there. And then between the candids that I get and the poses that we did, it's a lot of fun.
Especially when you're shooting outside, you never really know, like, what the weather's going to be like, what the lighting's going to be like. So you could plan, like, hey, let's go at this time of day because it should be about this type of lighting, and we'll shoot from this angle so we get this. But, you know, just like a fight, again, nothing really ever goes as planned, so you got to show up and just figure out what works and, you know, whether when you're posing and different things like that, some things work better than others, and that's just how it goes.
Yep.
So without, I guess, I don't know how to word this, without trying to make you sound bad, have you ever had anyone, like, freak out on you because they didn't like their pictures or anything? Or has everything always been a positive return?
I've done a couple weddings that they didn't say anything bad at all. And they were nice and said thank you and didn't complain about paying me, but they didn't say anything. And to me, that bothered me more than if they would have said, look, I don't like this or this or this, and show me what feedback. You don't like.
Yeah.
Because then I know next time I got something I can improve on it. If you just don't say anything, I'm like, well, that was kind of bland.
You don't know where to go from there.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's cool. I don't need the... it's not like... And saying that kind of makes me sound like, oh, I need to hear how good I am. That's not it. I want to hear you did good, or I want to hear you did bad. This is what I didn't like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. I mean, I don't want to hear somebody say, you suck! But I mean, if they want to say, I don't like this or this, I mean, I was taking some shots of you that you didn't like, and you were honest. You're like, no, I don't like that one. The last time that we did the shots.
Probably wasn't your fault, probably more so.
Yeah, oh, absolutely more my fault.
Yeah, that's 100%. What it was. That's what you didn't like.
David's like, I don't mess up. mug.
I didn't do it wrong.
Was that the fight pictures that we were doing?
Yeah, the last ones.
Yeah, no, that was definitely my ugly mug. That was not my best face. Yeah,
probably your more fat face after
100% more fat. 100%.
Yeah, that is one thing when you going back to what we were talking about, like the progression of photos as like we lead up to a fight and like our body compositions go. You could definitely tell like in the face. I know my face gets really thin by the time I'm weighing in, and I'll tell you right now, Clem's face does too.
He looks like a skeleton. I know what your skeleton looks like.
I have a very
like.
Round face normally.
Yeah, you're looking real lean, really like chiseled through your jawline, and then like a couple days after the fight I saw your face and I was like, is that the same guy?
Yes, three chins. Absolutely. Yeah, I have a weight cutting like outfits that I can wear, and I have regular outfits that I can wear. Yeah, it's not all one wardrobe, it's separated.
Yeah,
like the left side of my closet is for when I'm cutting weight, and the right side is when I can be
you
fat.
You definitely notice it on the belt, you know? Like, I don't cut much weight to be able to be like, oh, I wear these clothes then and these clothes then. But I do know, like, when I'm putting on my pants, like, oh, man, a couple days after I fight and I've been bashing Chinese and Mexican food and all kinds of stuff like that, put on my pants.
I have separate jeans that I wear. I can't fit into my normal jeans.
Like, have these always been skinny jeans? Like,
pretty tight.
My wife recently shrunk all my clothes. I'm telling you, she disagrees. She says I'm getting fatter.
Well, hey, you know, that's one thing, one price you got to pay when you have a woman doing your laundry, and that's something that that's a price I'm willing to pay. You know.
Cool. Then it is her dream. Yeah, that's what it is.
When you think about it, you're like, I'll take it. You know.
Absolutely.
Well, it looks like it's kind of getting late. I know you got things to do, so we'll wrap this up. You know, be sure to follow us on Instagram at OutsideTheOctagon _. Follow Austin Clem. His Instagram name is Pink Clemonade. Real fancy.
Good stuff.
Check me out at Corey Beck MMA. And then, of course, David Appleton at Appleton Imaging. We'd really appreciate it. You know, we enjoyed sitting down, talking about all this. We got a new perspective on photography and really made some cool comparisons between, you know, fighting and photography and really showing that, you know, anytime passion is involved, that, you know, we get down to business. So,
Thanks for listening. Like, thanks for tuning in. I don't really have much else to add. Just thanks. Thanks for supporting us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a blast.
We'll do it again sometime.
Cool. Anytime.
Okay.